I always have this dilemma whenever I stand here that I have too much in my head going on to say in the time I've got available. So just pray as you sat there that actually God sifts it and decides the bits that are really important. Because, yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Do I need to do anything, Jonathan? No. Okay, my title this morning, which most of you won't find difficult to believe, is Disciples Find Freedom in Christ. And part of the reason I said that was because when Graham said, would I speak, I said, I'll speak on freedom because a group of us have not just, but nearly just, finished doing the Freedom in Christ course. We started in January and we actually finished about May, and then we met in June. I can't remember, we met twice in June or once in June. So we have really now completed the course. And in a little while, I'm going to get those folks up that are here that have done the course, just to let them, give them an opportunity to say something if they want to, but also just for us to celebrate the fact that they have done it, actually to pray for them, because part of me thinks that now they've done the course, in some ways the real work now begins, to take what they've heard, what they've learned, and put it into life. And for all of them, they've had difficulties along the way. It's not been an easy time this last 6 months. And that is because of finding that freedom isn't always as easy as we think. So that's in my head as I'm talking this morning. And part of the reason it isn't easy is because when I say the word freedom, it conjures up all sorts of pictures in your minds. Perhaps you just shout out one or two things that just, when I say freedom, what do you think of? Braveheart? Come on, no answers wrong this morning.
Wide open spaces.
Wide open spaces. Sorry?
Flying.
Bit of that. Okay, sorry for the tape, the podcast. Put your arms out, turn around in a big space. Freedom. Yep, anybody else?
Saying what you like.
Choice. That's a few, isn't it? I mean, I wrote down, my first thought when I had this question to myself was, I thought of Nelson Mandela, you know, 25 years or whatever it was of solitary confinement, freedom as he stepped out. That to me is huge freedom, isn't it? I put freedom of speech, flying, the beach, which is part of that wide open space, isn't it? Could be the top of a mountain either. No mortgage. Be free, nice, wouldn't it? No deadlines, even better. Being debt-free in all sorts of ways, not just with mortgages. I thought of those of us who have small children in particular, that actually no children for a little while equals freedom. You understand me, those who have been there? Doing our own thing, which often does result in excess or of whatever, doesn't it? Which isn't perhaps so good. Another thought, that a picture that came to my mind was a picture from Albania of rivers there and ditches there with water in the bottom are just full of rubbish, absolutely chocker with rubbish. And you go, why do I say freedom? Because when I was talking to Lucy about it, saying, oh, it just upsets me so much, and I'd love to take the heaven-sent social actioners of you lot and go and clear it out, except there's rather a lot of it and we would only make a little indentation. But interestingly, this is what Lucy said, which is why I put it in this category, is because she said when communism stopped in Albania and ended and there was freedom, people stopped dealing with their rubbish because there was nobody to tell them they had to do it now. So freedom for them was dropping it where they found it, where they let go of it, as it were. And it's an odd sort of freedom that I found really difficult, because I look and just go, the country's marred. It's spoilt by that. But when you understand that under communism, you couldn't drop litter. There were people, you know, who went round and picked up anything that was blown around. There was a very regimented system that meant that wasn't possible. So for them, that freedom has manifested itself, if you like, in the litter. And I found that a bit sad. So when you've got all those different places of freedom, and I'm sure there's other things in your heads that you've not dared shout out, When I talk about freedom in Christ, or the Bible talks about freedom, we've got all those images in our head, and I think they get in the way sometimes of us actually finding our freedom. When we started this course, I knew a little bit about some of the ladies that did the course, and I said to them, I am expecting us to find freedom in this course. I am expecting that when we get to June, you will be able to see some difference. But I'm telling you now, it might not be where you think it ought to be, where you want it to be. And I think that is true, isn't it? That's what you'll hear in a bit, I hope, if I can tease out of them what there is. Because actually, I don't think, by and large, God brings some of the freedom we want like that. There are times when he does. But a lot of the times, actually, he wants us to do something within us. And I want you to turn to Acts 8. And there's a story there that I read as I was thinking about this morning that just really struck me as something to share in terms of that freedom, and in terms of we have to take part in it. Reading from, I'm not going to read the whole lot because we haven't got time. You can read the whole chunk. But the passage that I was reading was Acts 8, starting at verse 4 through to 25. And it's about a man called Simon, who's described in this passage in verse 9 as a sorcerer for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. That sort of gives you a little bit of history. You know, he wouldn't be the sort of person that we'd look up to particularly because of all of that, but that's who he was. But good things happened. If you keep going, it says, now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he began following Philip wherever he went. And he was amazed by the signs and miracles Philip performed. And I guess he was seeing something there that he hadn't seen in his own sorcering, if that's the right word, is it? Because I think the signs and wonders that God did were more amazing than anything he can do. But he was a believer, and I guess in all that time, although it doesn't really say, things were going on, things were changing, he was moving on. But then it says the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message. They sent Peter and John there, and as soon as they arrived, they prayed for the new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. So some good things happening. But then this is what happened next, verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed. So when I lay my hands on people, they receive the Holy Spirit. And I guess there was that thinking in him, I want to be able to do what you've been doing in terms of signs and wonders, because that's greater than what I was doing before. But this is what Peter replied. Peter replied to him, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. Harsh words. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. Now, you know, it's harsh words. And at first I sort of went, ooh, golly, could you really say that? Could you really, really, really say that? But then I thought, actually, there was that discernment in Peter of seeing that although this guy had once been a sorcerer, he repented, he'd been baptized, and he was believing and he was moving on with God. Actually, there was something in him that hadn't been touched by the power of God. There was still the place in him where he was drawing the source of his power and his thinking and his believing from the enemy's camp rather than from God's camp. And actually, if God's going to use him, he had to change. And so Peter's words, harsh they might have been, but actually, They were said because Peter could see that there was good in this guy and that God wanted to use him. Fortunately, I think, Peter's reply to this wasn't, "Don't you speak to me like that," which I can imagine a number of us might retort with a little of that. He went, "Pray to the Lord for me, that these terrible things you said won't happen to me." And I take my hat off to him, because I just think to have the humbleness about him to say, "I recognise you are a man of God and that you're discerning something right in me, and I want to get in the right place." Says no more about Simon the sorcerer after that, or even Simon the Christian. As far as I know, there's no other reference to him. But it just says that Peter and John, when they'd finished testifying, they went back to Jerusalem. But as I read this, I was thinking about, really about the ladies who've done this Freedom in Christ course with me, because part of the reason I knew that they weren't going to get all the freedom that they were wanting at the beginning of the course by the end of the course is almost for this very reason that Simon was dealing with, because we come into the kingdom and we see something good and we take hold of it. And yes, we do repent of the things that we see, but there are many things in our lives that we don't see, we're not aware of, that are not godly. And that actually we need the Holy Spirit, we need other people to help us to identify where he sets our power source is in the wrong, plugged into the wrong source, and unplug it and plug it back in. And that isn't not comfortable when you realise that for a long time you've believed something wrong, and you've now actually got to go, "Oh, can't believe that anymore." And find a new thought, find a new belief, find a new thing. And I take my hat off to each of these women who have been prepared to look at themselves, allow the Holy Spirit in, allow some of us to talk with them and point some of these things out and help them to work through and begin, I think, to get, if you go to your computer analogy, your default setting right, so that actually you default back into God, not into the lies that the enemy sought. And I just think that, if I'm going to bang on about anything today, I just long for all of us, every single one of us, to have our defaults straight back into God, rather than into the lies that we too easily believe. And actually with this, I was thinking about Adam and Eve. Because in the course, it talks a lot about Adam and Eve and how, you know, what they did wrong and how our roots go back there and whatever. And I was going to talk about that today, but most of you know that. But I began to think about the freedom I have today that I know I've got because I'm in Christ. And I was thinking, how does that compare to the freedom and the intimacy that Adam and Eve had with God before they sinned? A little thought to go away and think about, because I just went, do you know, I love the freedom I have. I love the intimacy I have. But I know it's not like that. Not any of us. No matter how much freedom we've got, no matter how much we are godly men and women, we haven't yet got that freedom. And therefore, I know I can keep preaching about freedom till I'm in my coffin. Or perhaps I can't preach it in my coffin, but you lot will preach it for me when I'm in my coffin, because you'll be saying that's what she would have done if she'd been at her own funeral. Do you know what I mean? Because there's something about what God's put in me that says I do not want to see anybody tainted or robbed of what God has given us to keep. So what does freedom, what am I thinking that freedom in Christ is? Well, do you know, to be really honest, I come to the conclusion, I've got a whole load of things written down, all of which are true. But the thing I think is that very thing of getting back to that intimacy that Adam and Eve had with God in the very beginning. It's freedom to be who God created us to be. Isn't it, Adrian? She'll shout it with me. It's that freedom not to have to think, "Oh, I wonder what Brenda will think if I do that. I wonder if John will approve. I wonder if Carl will think I'm mad. I wonder if, I wonder if, I wonder if." And to be moved by that. Or do you know what I mean? And it's, or to be moved by the world around us that says you must have 3 foreign holidays a year, 2 cars, a new car every 3 years. I don't know, whatever it is that you're, you know, you have influencing you, and it may be none of those, it might be something completely different. But do you know, we have those influences come around and we think perhaps we should have that. And I think we have to stop sometimes and go, do we really need what the world tells us we really need? And I'm not saying any of those things are bad. Please don't think that a new car's wrong or a foreign holiday's wrong. They're good, aren't they? We have to celebrate those. But they're not things we have to have. They're not our right. They're not part of our freedom. They're part of the bonus, I think. And I just long for us to be walking every single day as children of God, as God designed us to be. Now, there's no simple way of getting there. I haven't got now your 3 brilliant points to how to get there, except that you just need to keep on keeping on submitting to God. If I've got anything to say to you as a way forward, it's, if I can find another verse, it's James. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Or in the Message, which I love this one. Let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. And I just love that sense of, especially in the Message, because it just sort of brings it to life, doesn't it? You know, say aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. And that does make me laugh. If I'm praying for anybody and we're praying, you know, resisting the enemy in any way, I am more likely to laugh than anything else as I watch him run the other direction. So if I laugh when I'm praying with you, that's probably what I'm seeing is, you're on your way. But that sense of going yes to God, you don't have to say it loudly because he hears you. He'll be there in no time, and that's a promise for every single one of us. No holes barred. So as we're talking about freedom, I have this sort of thing in my head that I have to deal with all the time, and is that I'm a bit bonkers because I'm passionate about freedom. I have this thought in my head all the time. Every time I stand up here and talk about freedom, you go, oh no, here we go again. When's she ever going to shut up? And I'm telling you how it is. Because I do go on about it, and I know I go on about it, and I know I probably do get up some of your noses for it, but actually, I know that God's placed it in me, so actually, I have to deal with it, and I have to say, tough you lot, it's in me, God set it, I have to let it out. But this week, I've been saying to God, well, come on, you know, why do I keep banging on about this freedom? And this is why. No, this isn't why. This helps you understand why. Sorry, this isn't why. But I read this thing that Nelson Mandela actually said. It said, for to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but it's to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. Shall I read that again? For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. And actually, for me today, it's something of that I want you to catch, because I don't know if you've been watching and noticing that as we've been praying for healing over this last year, 18 months, a little bit of healing has resulted in us praying for another bit of healing, which has resulted in another bit of healing, that has resulted along the way in a number of healings being received and given. Have you noticed that? That is happening, and there's more to come, because you started, well, not you started off, but we, you know, one of the first healings, big healings we saw was Jeff, and that bug getting out of his body. Well, we've got to yet see Jeff, receive the whole of the healing so he can walk, jump up and down, get back to playing squash. And we mustn't forget that. You know, for Jade, we've prayed some stuff, and there's definitely a touch of God on her life, but she's not at the end of the road yet, and we need to keep praying because she still needs more and more of the touch of God. And so it goes on. But as I was thinking about the healing, I was thinking about social action. We've been at Amanda's this week, painting as part of Heaven Sent. And she's been bowled over by the fact we've got them painted for her. But other people have been bowled over by going to paint for her. As we've painted for her, we've seen, or I've seen, those of us who've been there have seen a knock-on effect to her, to other people, as we have gone and blessed. And we've seen that before, haven't we? When we went and did social action a couple of years ago, and we filled that huge, huge skip twice, was it, in the day? Or I think it was, wasn't it, when we were up at on that walkway up near Orchard School. We filled a huge skip. Well, that the knock-on effect of that to the councillors, to people in the street, was like, whoa. And it's like, I could see it as ripples. I described it on Facebook this week, this blessing. You do a little bit of blessing, and there's a ripple. And you don't know where that ripple's going to go. You don't know who it's going to touch. You don't know where it's going to touch, actually, because you only see, well, I'm a bit naive, maybe. I thought there was a little blessing. I didn't think about the consequences at the time. I just thought, let's do the blessing. And I think the same is true with freedom. That as we see freedom in our lives, as we see freedom in other people's lives, it's like dropping a stone and the ripples are going to go. And I believe that actually there are lots of stories in this room that need to be told, that need to be shared because of the ripple effect. I'll tell you one, I've got permission to say this one. Emma... Well, got permission because she's not here. A couple of weeks ago, I came into the toddler group in here, the Seesaw, and Emma was chatting to Terry about the fact that Harriet was going for a full day at school the following week and ready to start school full-time in September. And I came in at the moment where Emma was going, oh, I'm going to be a wreck, it's going to be awful, I'm going to be so sad, I'm going to be so miserable. You can imagine Emma saying some whatever she said in those things. And I just went... slightly flippantly and in a Janet-like manner, you don't have to be like that. And immediately you think, oh dear, I'm just, because I'm a very different sort of mum, you know, that's not how I am. And I immediately repented of my sort of over whatever and went, and she went, I know. I said, well then, you know, choose to think something different. I said, you could look at it, rather than being sad because she's not there with you, celebrate the fact that you as a parent have done a fantastic job and she's ready to go to school. Celebrate the fact that she wants to be at school full time. She's not having got any worries about missing mum for the day. I said, you don't have to dwell on the sad bit. And she went, oh, yeah, right. Anyway, at that point, I thought, I'm speaking too much. I'll back off a bit and hide away. Anyway, a few days later, I was talking to her, and something else had happened. And I said to her, I do think, you know, perhaps we need to pray for you because I just feel like the enemy's holding you in a place you shouldn't be. And she said, oh, tell me about it, Janet. She said, I know I'm not doing the right thing. I know I should be letting Harriet go, but I can't. Anyway, we chatted for a bit and we prayed. That was the Wednesday. On the Friday, I came back to Seesaw. And she was sat there, and I hadn't got my head in the right place because I didn't register it was the Friday rather than just the Friday. And she went, she looked up and she went, have you been praying for me again? I went, okay, why did she say that? I went, what do you mean? Yeah, of course I've been praying. Then it twigged, it was the Friday. And then I went, she's not crying. She's no red eyes. She's happy. So, and she went, I just feel amazing. She said, I've been able to let her go, and it's all fantastic. It was just, wasn't it, Simon? It was just incredible. And when I talked to her a few days after that, and I was just going, it was just incredible. She said, she just can't believe the difference. Now, we haven't prayed about whatever it is that is in the history that might be causing it, but almost just challenging her and putting a new thought in her head and her taking hold of it, She's released. Now, I'm expecting, and you have to say this to Emma, I'm expecting her to tell that story to other mums who are feeling sad about their children going to school, and there being a ripple effect onto other mums who are struggling. And I think that's what we need to be doing. So I think if you're in any doubt about whether you're banging on, about something wrongly and God's asking you to do something, just do it. Just do it. Take hold of the freedom. Let go of the rubbish of the past. I know it's hard sometimes when, you've got things that you've been like that all the time. You've lived like that. You've thought like that. But if God challenges you, if the Holy Spirit challenges you, if somebody else says to you, like I said to Emma, you don't have to do that. Just hear it and go away and ask God what it is. That's about all I've got to say in terms of my content. But I've got a couple of things that I just felt that in the midst of this, that God just dropped into my thoughts. Last Sunday morning, I was in the sort of coming to in the morning in bed. And as I often do, I often preach in my sleep or in bed, because that's where I find quite inspiration. And I was having a slight panic as I woke up this morning going, God, I need something to say. I need to know that I can say this. Where are you? What do I say? And the word charlatan came in my head. Not a word I use normally. Not a word that's in my normal vocabulary. In fact, when I actually got up, I couldn't remember the word. And I had to go through the dictionary, through the CHAs, until I found the word and go, oh, yeah, that's what it was. That's how unusual it is for me to have that word in my head. And as I thought it, I thought, where's that come from? And this is what I felt God say. He said, there's somebody here this morning whose family have a family story, almost in legend type story, I think, of a charlatan in the family. And he said, it's really important you use the word, because that's the word in the family that is used. And God says that although there's nobody now being a charlatan, there is charlatan mentality in the family that you need to break in order that you can be who you are. Now, for those of you who are sitting there going, like me and Matt, actually, when I was telling Matt, going, what is a charlatan? I'm sure there you're there, because I know there are clever people here who haven't got a problem with that, but some of us had to go to the dictionary. And it said, a charlatan is an imposter or a false claimant, a pretender. And there's that sense of deceiving about it, isn't it? There's that I'm pretending to be somebody I'm not. And actually, I felt that God wants to break the hold of that imposter, pretender, sort of deceiver in the family, and actually restore truth and honesty and integrity. And I'll just give you that one as I thought, if that's you, I'd be really happy to pray for you or get somebody else to pray for you. But it was so clear that I'm sharing it with you. What do I do? Shall I stop? I'll stop there, shall I? I've got one or two other things I might say, but I'll perhaps say them after we've prayed for the ladies. Is that all right? Let's just pray about that, because I don't know that even what I've said is necessarily a whole talk. But I feel like I'm sharing what I'm seeing. I'm sharing the little pictures of where I am at, what I'm at. And as often I go to you, I haven't got all the answers. I don't know what it is that God's speaking to you about. What I feel my job often when I stand up here is to stir you up a little bit, set you off on your own little journey to discover what it is that you need to take hold of, get rid of, walk into. And in a sense, that's what I feel like I've brought you to a place where I go, right, it's over to you now. It's in your hands. Go and pray. Go and ask God to show you whatever he needs to show you. So if you're happy with that, would you like to just put yourself mentally, spiritually, bodily, if you need to, in a place where you're saying, I'm up for a bit of freedom, I'm up for a bit more of whatever. You can stand, you can kneel, you can put your hands up, you can do nothing at all, but you respond, because it's about you, it's not about me. And I'll pray, and then we'll move on. Father, I thank you that you created us in the image of God, each and every one of us. And because of Adam and Eve's sin in the first place, and then because we've all sinned, we're not shining examples of who you are anymore. We are being changed from one degree of glory to another as we listen to you, as we respond to you. And this morning, Father, I just want to pray for all of us that the things that I've spoken, the things that have come into people's thoughts today would not be forgotten, would not go away until they have brought them before you and pursued them and dealt with them. And another step of freedom is taken hold of. Father, not because I look around the room and go, we're a whole bunch of people in chains and bound, but because actually I want to see us in more freedom. I want to see us able to enjoy being the children of God that we are in increasing measure. But more than that, I want us to be out there with our families, with our friends, with our work colleagues, with our people at school, people in the playground, people in the shop, wherever we find ourselves. I want us to be people that are freedom people in terms of we're talking about what God has done. We're able to share what God has done. We're able to have those ripple effects that are going to affect the people around us and bring the kingdom of God into our communities more and more and more. And I just know that this is part of how you're going to do it. So will you take each and every person here, Father, and help us to find that way forward, whatever it is for us, from this moment onwards. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Freedom, ladies, come and stand with me, including Ruth and Adrian, because you were assisting us. Now, people who are not here this morning are Pam and Gary, who were part of the team that assisted me, and Ruth and Adrian were part of my team, of which I'm very grateful for standing with me. Want to come? Sorry. Yeah. And then we have Rita, who has been around Ashwood quite a long time. There's Bev, Sinclair, who's not here, who's done the course with us. This is Jenny, if you don't know Jenny already. A great smiler, great bubbly character. This is Sally, who has been up the front before and who will perhaps be up here again. Perhaps not here, but because she's moving to Scotland, but that's nothing to do with me. I promise. And Amanda, who we've grown to love. Not that I haven't grown to love the rest of you, sorry. Just trying to say a little something. There's also Trish, who you might have seen occasionally, who is actually really not well and sometimes arrives with a walker because she's so struggling so much and she's not able to be with us. And then there's Karen Hemingway-Gray, who some of you know, who isn't able to be with us, and Debbie, who's not able to be with us. So I think that's the... Oh, Alison, sorry.
That's all right.
Very good. I'm glad I've got my friends here. Alison, again, who's been with us, but sent her apologies this morning. We've had a great time, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yes, Jen.
I've had a great time. I think they did too. Now, do any of you want to feel up to saying something?
I do, actually.
I thought you would. I can rely on my mate, Jenny.
I'm not used to microphones. Is that okay?
Do you want me to turn this off?
I ride a bike, and I actually got a new bike when I started the Freedom of Christ. So I'm going to use my bike as a metaphor on the journey I've been on. When I started the Freedom of Christ, it was like, here's your new bike, nice and shiny. And you think, oh, great, that looks fantastic, that's for me. But you've got to learn to ride it. Okay, so you learn to ride it, and then you step up the gears, and you develop more Christianity, more inner peace as you go along. And then sometimes you go down a gear, you have questions, and then you go up a gear. And eventually we get to riding the bike. And then nearer to the end says, oh, you need a helmet. Oh, yeah, protect yourself. So put your helmet on, you adjust it. Yes, that's fine. And there's your cagoule in rainy weather. Protect yourself again. So you learn to protect yourself, so you've all gunned up at the end of the course. I'm going. You wake up in the morning. Oh, it's raining. Should I get on my bike? Or is it easy to get in the car? I'll get on my bike. Yeah, get on your bike. helmet's a bit wobbly, getting the helmet on, cycle to school, car in the way. Oh, wasn't expecting this. Ding, 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 ding. No, be Christian-like, do it the right way, going along.
Is it not Christian to ring your bell?
Not the way I was doing it.
I love you.
Cycling along, people in your path, like, oh, it's people in the way. Is it worth it? It's easy to get in the car. But at the end of the day, when you cycle back home, and you're feeling a bit like this, and you get your drink, and your friends ring you up and say, I saw you in the morning with your daughter on a rollerblade cycling to school. What an amazing sight. That's really cheered me up for the day.
Really?
Yeah, it's really... And the benefits are way and beyond. And you've got those gears, and you just keep going up a gear. And those gears are never ending, to be quite honest. But if you want to learn how to be nice to people and do it in a Christian way, which is how I've been taught, to change my mind and my thought, get on your bike. Because it's a good way of starting. And the journey will be forever and ever and ever. And the benefits are amazing. So thank you for my bike, Janet.
That's all right. So this is Jenny's now new phrase. When she says on your bike, she means when I go, it's time for freedom. Okay? We'll just have that agreement between us all, hey? Yeah? Any of you ladies at the end, don't run away. Do any of you want to say anything?
It's been a privilege, actually, to be on this course and helping these ladies. But I found it a challenge to me as well, that it's messed up some things that I thought I was okay with. So but I just find it a real privilege to be alongside them. And I thank God for the stuff it's done in my life and it's doing as well. So.
Now, Sally's got lots to say, but she doesn't know where to start. So, you got anything?
I've got loads, but I just don't know how to put it in place and how to put it in order.
Just one thing. One highlight, because it is nearly time when we ought to be stopping, and although they're all happy at the moment, let's keep them going.
When I started the course, when I read all the I Am Significant and everything, I'd seen the verses from Ashwood Church before, where it says, I am God's child. And I used to read them, and I could read them for somebody else, but I couldn't read them for myself. I didn't know how to take it on myself. Even when I was reading the message, I still didn't know how to do it. And that's been the biggest thing for me, because I was listening on a preacher the other day, and he said, who is Father God to you? And it doesn't matter about anybody else. Who is it to you? And for once, I managed to say, he is my Father God, and I am his child, and he loves me. And that's been the biggest thing for me, because knowing his love and knowing how he cares for me, because I've come from a bad past and I had so much to get rid of. I was actually involved, like Simon was, in witchcraft and sorcery, and I did a lot of things that I wasn't supposed to do. I was researching in witchcraft and the divination and everything. I was into drugs, I was into alcohol, I was a self-harmer, I was anorexic, I was bulimic in my past, so I have had a lot of crap to get rid of. And even now, I'm still holding on to it, and even now I am battling along, but if I hadn't done this Freedom of Christ, I would have never been where I am now, and I need it so much.
And this is to Sally. Sally's been on the tandem with me, right? We've been together. We've been on and Sally's quite often taken the front seat with me and let me sit in the back, and we've swapped places. And I've made such a friendship out of Sally just doing the course, and she'll always be a close friend of mine. And she's amazing. We've just done it together, haven't we? And we've both done so well, even though some days, you know, one will take the lead and one won't. And you do develop friendships that, well, you'd never do in normal life. Just, you know, being together and expressing your feelings and working it through. And that was just amazing in itself. And you as well, Janet, yeah. Well, everybody in the group, but me and Sally seemed to take the same path, didn't we, at a lot of places, yeah. Which was good, yeah. And so yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And that much so, I'm actually considering, will be getting baptised, but because I'm moving to Scotland in a few weeks, I don't know whether I'm doing it here or whether I'm doing it when I get to Skye. But the added benefit, my dad is now elder training, so if I do get baptised in Skye, my dad will actually be baptising me, and I'll be baptised in the river as well. And because of the... What? You're not making it any easier, you know. And then because of the freedom in Christ and because I've been able to use what I've learnt to pass on to friends and to pass on to people that have been struggling, especially the world views and especially the lies that I've come to believe, and to help other people understand it, I'm now actually considered going into Christian counselling. It might not be something straight away because I want to get the freedom in Christ values and that in my heart and being able to preach it like Janet does before I actually take it on board. But I actually want to go into Christian counselling as well. So...
Fantastic. And Alison, who's not here, I've got permission to just tell you, one of the things she said when she started the course was that she never hears from God, didn't she? She said it so many times. And there was one particular morning when we got together, and we always started the morning by saying, have you had any, have you had any thoughts since last week, reflections on what we heard, have you any answers to prayer as a result of what we're doing? And every week, actually, we had to sort of call a halt because to that, otherwise we might never have got the teaching done, because there was always things people were sharing and good things and answers to prayer. And this particular morning, Alison came and she said, oh, these things have happened. And I think she even started that morning with, well, I don't hear God. And then she started to tell us what had been happening. And we all just sat there and went, but you've just heard God once, twice, three times? I can't remember how many times it was, but It was just amazing. She just went, oh, I have, haven't I? But because she thought hearing God came in that way, that shape, and actually it came in that shape from over here, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? She wasn't really aware of it, but actually she's come through a huge amount these last few months in just being able to hear from God for herself. And all of them, I mean, the others haven't spoken because... it's not so easy to say some of the things that you've been going through, is it? And it's daunting looking at this lot, isn't it, at times? But we've watched each and every one of them through tears, through laughter, through great thought and reflection. We've seen them all come through a real process and coming out the other end. And I'm just really, really honoured and privileged to walk the walk this far. And I'm not letting go. I shall walk the walk a little further until I'm not needed. But I just thought it'd be good for you to hear a little bit about what they've done. We are planning to do another course in the autumn. So if you'd like to sign up, then we are going to look at that. We haven't got any dates fixed yet, but we will be looking at that. But I just thought it'd be really good if you would stand with me and pray for these guys.